Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, praise the Lord. God bless you once again, my radio listeners. This is Pastor Ola Starlin with the Anointed Word Ministry. And I'd like to say I want to welcome you back once again to come with me and let us go through the Word of God and let us, praise God, get better understanding and just touch base and touch, just be able to just touch into Him. Hallelujah. Because we realize in today is the day that the Lord has made, and I will rejoice and be glad in it. Because I know, praise God, that He is, praise God, the one, praise God, that is the reason I am here today. He's the one, praise God, to know, praise God, that He is my everything. He's the one, praise God, that gives me life, strength, use activities of my limbs, and once more, and allow me to be closed in my right mind. I pray that you had a blessed day today, and during your time throughout this day, that you gave Him the glory, the praise, and the honor. And knowing, praise God, that without Him, you're nothing. Without Him, you can do nothing. But with Him, you can do all things but fail. We realize, praise God, that we must stay and be connected to our main source. And what is our main source? Our main source is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we realize that He is what we need. He's our source. He's our provider. He's all that we need. So this is why, praise God, it's so important that we realize and give Him the focus. Make Him our daily focus. Praise God, going and coming. And when you get up in the morning, tell God thank you. When you come in, tell God thank you. Because one thing about it, He didn't have to do it, but He did. He allowed us to be here yet once again. And I am excited. And I just want to say once again as well, for those of you that listen in on the last broadcast, I thank God for you. And I will continue to keep you lifted in prayer. Because one thing we must do, we must get closer to the Word of God, closer in the Word of God. Because that is our only source. Because right now, people, we are living in perilous times. We're in times like never before. See, eyes have not seen what is about to happen. But you must know that you know that God is your source. You see, one thing the enemy does, he covers. He covers so well. And it seems like everything is just okay. But you must understand, when there is the quietness, there's a storm brewing. And I just want to say to you, get in the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Because I said it before, I will say it again. There's coming a time they're going to take these Bibles out of your hand. But if it's in your heart, they can't take it out your heart. But if they're in your hand, they're going to pull them out your hand, out your homes, yes. Because they don't want God. They want a godless society. Understand, a godless society. They don't want no God. They figure, we're running this thing. We got this going. We this, we that. But I know of my man that has the last say of everything. He's the beginning and He is the ending. He is Alpha and He is Omega. Yes. He started it, He will end it. So it's okay. Let the devil do what he do. But you must understand He's coming after everything and everybody because He knows that His time is short. He knows His time is short. But it appears like we don't know that His time is short. Give no place to the enemy. We must fight the good fight of faith. I thank God, praise God for you today for tuning in to Anointed Word Ministries and tell someone, praise God, that we will be back on the air, praise God, Friday, tomorrow as well. And just get this word in you. You see, you must hear the word. So you can't, you have no faith because if you don't hear the word, so you must hear the word. If you don't hear word coming to you, then you don't know word. Because many of us will not pick up our Bibles. We won't read that. But what somebody else say, we will mimic that. That I want to let you know tonight. Time to get it right. It's time to get it right, people. It's time to get it right. It's time out for all the foolishness and the folly. It's time out for that. It's time now to know that you know that you know that you know that God is your source. And he is your beginning, and he'll be your ending. Amen. We praise God tonight, and I don't want to keep praise God talking and saying things, praise God, but what I'm saying is true, and I can repeat it again. But you must understand, my friend, that one day, one day, one day, you will stand before the judgment of Christ. You will. You will. And the word says you will give an account of all the deeds done, whether in the body or out, you will give an account of it. Yes, sir, you're going to give an account of it. You're going to have to stand and give an account of whether everything you have done, whether it's good or bad, in the body or out, you must give an account. So this is one thing I would say. Let your good outweigh your bad. Let your good outweigh your bad. Because one thing we have to understand, no, God has no respect of a person. What he say to one, he'll say to all. That's what he, that's the kind of God I love. Because he's not one of those that try to do for one, don't do for other. What he say to one, he say to all. What he say to one, he say to all. He's not no respect of a God. He don't respect one more than he do the other. Because one thing about God, he don't get caught up. He's God all by himself. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. He's a mighty good God. A mighty good God. And I just pray, praise God, that you find the time to get a relationship with him. We're not just talking about words. We're talking about action. Make sure that you know that you know that you know that you belong to him. You don't have to ask nobody. Get nobody's approval. But what you know that you know that you know him. You got everything that you need. Praise God. Everything that you need is in him. So I want you to just know, praise God, get a relationship with him. Get a relationship with him. And as I said to you before, a relationship means you're communicating with each other. You know each other. You adore each other. You respect each other. You love each other. A relationship. Not just to get him just because he blesses you or he gives you blessings. You want him because he gives you things or bless you with things, but you don't want him as a savior to correct you, praise God, when you're doing wrong. But I want to let you know, let him do what he do, because in the end, it will tell the story. Hey, my God, it will tell the story, whether you knew him or not, amen. And for the unsaved, come hear the word. Come to God. We got to run around talking about I'm saved. In your mind, you're saved. But are you saved the way the word of God said you're saved? Not the way the preacher say you're saved. By, you know, giving him your hand and shaking his hand and walking away from the altar and possibly even dipping you in water. That's not being saved. That's not being saved. The Bible said the devil believed and he trembled. The devil can say he's saved. He can fake it. He can fake it. But we're talking about the real right now. The real. You must be real in him to receive what he has for you. You've got to get in God. You must get in God. I couldn't say it anymore. I'm not prophesying to you to make you feel good, what you think you want to hear. No. I'm not doing that. I'm going to give you word. What the word say, that's what I say. Amen. Amen and amen again. And I thank you, praise God, for just being, praise God, part of the ministry and listening on the word. Tell someone about the word. See, it's time off all that screaming and hollering and jumping and making somebody a shout. I don't need to make you shout. If you know who God is, you can get a shout without me opening my mouth. Your shout is automatically. I don't need to tell you, come on now, come on now, let's pray. No, 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 no. If you got him like you say you have him, you can shout him and don't need music because you are, when you think about how good he has been to you, your shout will be released. You'll get it all by yourself. I don't need to give you anything to make you shout. I don't have to prophesy a word to you for nothing. I'm not prophesying to you. God didn't say it, then I don't say it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you tonight, God. God, you are just too much. Hallelujah. But I thank you, Father, because I realize it's all about you. It's all about you, God. And tonight we're here, and we're going to go into a word of prayer, praise God, and thank God. And then we're going to go right into this word tonight and just eat from the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to eat from his table tonight. Hallelujah. God, I thank you. I thank you because I realize that you are the truth and the living God. We thank God tonight. Father, we thank you tonight. But Lord, as I come to you now, Father, I come, Lord, asking that you, praise God, release sinners tonight and backsliders, and praise God, allow them a second chance to come back to you, and those that don't know you to get to know you and know, praise God, that they have a right to the tree of life. Father God, there is no, praise God, no way, praise God, for them to stay out only if they are not a child of God. Father God, I thank you, praise God, for you still stand, praise God. Stand like you have always stood, with your arms stretched out wide, saying, come as you are. And I let in no wise cast you out, but just come. All I want you to do is come. Just come, and we'll work out the situation. I got a plan for you, but you just come. And this is why I'm saying, praise God, tonight, that all sinners hear the word of God. The Bible said that when that day you hear my voice, harden not your heart, for it is the day of salvation. It is not my word that I speak, but it is word, because he said it so. He said, when you hear my voice, the voice of God is my voice, it's his voice. When you hear, hallelujah, the voice of the Lord, harden not your heart. Don't harden your heart, for it is. His word that he sent for you to receive salvation. The Bible God said, the word of God said, I wish above all things, brethren, that all men would repent and come into the knowledge of the truth. Come into the knowledge of the truth. He says, not my will that no man be lost. But if any man be lost, he's lost because the devil, listen to me, the devil has blinded him to the truth. He rather believe a lie than the truth. He says, not my will. I didn't prepare hell for you. He says, I prepared it for the devil and his angels. But now if you live like hell, then hell is prepared for you. But he's saying unto us tonight, I want you to come as you are. You don't have to be in the state that you're in. It does not matter, praise God, whether it's a drug dealer, homosexual, praise God, prostitute, but praise God, it could be, praise God, it could be whatever you want it to be, praise God. It could be a thief, a killer. However, he said, you come as you are, and I will no wise cast you out, because I'm the only one that can cleanse you and cleanse you from all of your unrighteousness. No other man can forgive you for the thing that you do in this life, but only me. No man comes to the Father by me, said God. God said, you come through my son before you get to me. Hallelujah. So tonight, praise God, we're saying, Father, open the doors, praise God, of the hearts of those that are hardened hearted, praise God, that do not know you, have not sought after you, praise God, to seek you while they can be found, while you can be found. For there will come a day that they will not be able to find you. And praise God, you said, there will come a day I will mark you. You will say, Lord, and he will say, Lord. But God, let them know, God, hear you now. Hear the voice of the Lord. Repent and be saved. Hallelujah. The Bible said, if any man, praise God, want to be saved, if he confess with his mouth and believe in his heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, thou shall be saved. Simple, real simple. Thou shall be saved. Believe and you shall receive. Thou shall be saved. But if you have to confess it, You have to confess out of your mouth. Confess means to, because it said, bring it on up, bring it up, up, come on up with it, come on up with it, because you got to get it out. And let God know, I realize, God, that I was a sinner, and I need to be saved. I need a Savior in my life. Because you have to ask yourself this question. Maybe many of us, praise the Lord, has never even thought about this, but guess what it says? You have to ask yourself a question. Have your name been written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Make sure. Have your name been written in the Lamb's Book of Life? There's a book that will be open at the judgment. Hallelujah. Hey, God. Yekabasuya. Thank you, Father. But, Father, we thank you tonight, Father God, because your word stated in Mark 11:23, for verily I say unto you, this is your word, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, and he shall have them whatsoever he saith. And said Mark 11:24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. Mark 11:25, and then ye stand praying, forgiving. You cannot see many things, praise God. We can't get to God because many of us still harboring hatred, hatred in our heart. We're still harboring unforgiveness in our heart. Hallelujah. But he said, you must stand there, stand ye there praying, forgive, and ye shall have. With what you say, you have ought against anybody. Then you come to your father and want your father to forgive you. He will not do it. If you have any ought against any, that your father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses, then you must forgive others for their trespasses. Hallelujah. He said it in Mark 11:26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, oh, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. Hallelujah. You don't get no trespasses either, because guess what? You have not forgiven, and I can't forgive you, said the Lord. God worked like this. He said, do unto others, and you will have them to do unto you. In Luke 11:2, and he said unto them, when ye pray, whenever you pray, morning, noon, night, daytime, morning, time, whenever you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven, so in earth. You must pray the prayer. Luke 11:22, and give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day, Lord, our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is what indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But you want God to keep you and watch over you, but you don't want to forgive. But deliver us from evil. It is important, very important, that what we do, we must, what? Important that we pray always with confidence. We must forgive. We must forgive. So God can forgive us. We cannot stand holding a grudge. Now, whenever you are studying the Bible, you must know one thing. Father God, you must focus on the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Pray. Pray. If you want to pray for this, for someone else, just use your name. Just use the Father's name. That's what you do. And you go into the presence of the Lord. But God can't hear you when you can't forgive someone else. You can't. You must be able to forgive. And we say to you, Heavenly Father, as we come to you in your name, the name of Yahshua, which is Jesus Christ, the name that is above all names. And I ask you to loose every spiritual cataract from binding and blinding the eyes of every person, praise God, that comes before you and look into and read your word and study your word. Let those, praise God, those binding cataracts, hallelujah, fall off and be gone in the name of Jesus. Father God, move the blinders. that they may understand and see your word with understanding. Let the spiritual vision and the sight be anointed and quickened, praise God, very quick, never before. And Father Yahshua, we thank you as we come against and bind every hindering thought, every doubt, every preoccupation, every, praise God, diversion in this mind, in our minds, in our life, in our spirit right now, Father. We come to you right now. I loose upon this heart and the mind and the spirit of liberty and clarity and understanding, oh God, of who, praise God, of who we are. Praise God, and praise God, and let the Holy Spirit, which is your Ruach HaKodesh, praise God, and your revelation break forth with night upon every word, praise God, a light upon every word as we study and read your word. Father God, let the light shine forth. Let this light, praise God, be in us, praise God, that the light was in you. Praise God, that we may overcome and to see, praise God, through darkness. Father God, we thank you, Yahshua, as you are really, praise God, you are doing great things to us. And Father God, with no limitation, and Father, even in your power, because of your power in this life and in our life, let us be complete, let the devil be completely destroyed, praise God. Let him be annihilated, and let him be banished, praise God, that we might be able to cut loose and to do the work of the work that you have assigned to our hands, praise God. Praise God, and that we may be able to receive the miracles that you send forth in the name of Yahshua. And Father, we thank you as ever before, being a witness, hallelujah, to your word, praise God, and to, praise God, all that you are doing in our life. And Father God, we thank you, Lord, that we take victory over fear, Father, in name, Father Yahshua, in your name. Father God, I confess and I believe that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and any tongue that rises against me in the judgment, it shall be condemned. And I will show, praise God, show forth, praise God, and I will show to be, praise God, the wrongness, praise God, I will it will be known. And I believe I dwell in the secret place of the Most High God. I shall remain stable and fixed under the shadows of your Almighty God, who power no foe can withstand this secret place that you hide me from the strife of the tongue of the enemy. And I believe the wisdom of God's word dwells in me. And praise God, and because it does, I realize, God, that I am without fear, because fear is of torment. Praise God, fear is of the devil. It is of torment. And Father God, we rebuke the spirit of torment right now. And Father, we thank you, Father God, that in all our ways we would acknowledge you, God, and your word would be within us. And Father God, you would direct it and make straight the plain, the pathway, Lord, that we will walk, praise God, praise God, circumspectly, redeeming the time and the days, for it is all evil. And Father, I attend, praise God, and to your word, that it will become, praise God, a place in my spirit, man. Father, I thank you, Father. Father, I thank you right now, God, as you know, praise God, that you are part, praise God, you are God, and you are King of kings and Lord of lords. And Father, I am strengthened and reinforced with the mighty power, praise God, that dunamis power, praise God, in the inner man, praise God, that self, praise God, that Holy Spirit, which is the Ruach HaKodesh. And Father, I thank you right now, Father, Father God, for dwelling in me, and God, my strength and my refuge and my confidence, trust in you and in your word. I am empowered through my union with the Almighty God. This gives me the superhuman, praise God, supernatural strength to walk in divine health and to live in abundance. Because devil, whatever you plan for me, praise God, you may dig a ditch for me, but you will fall in the pit. And Father, I thank you once again, God, for saying I will never leave you. I will not, praise God, you will support me, Father. You will not leave me, not forsake me, Father. That's why I can look to the hills from which cometh my help. For my help cometh from the Lord, who made heavens and earth. You will not allow my footstep to slip nor be moved. Father, I thank you right now for being God of my life. And I take confident encouragement and confidence and boldly say to you, the Lord is my helper. You are my shepherd. And Father God, I will not be seized with alarm, praise God. It does not matter, devil, what you try and do, because God has already made a way for an escape. And Lord, I thank you, for I do not fear. I am not filled with terror, praise God. But I can do all things through you who strengthens me. I care, Shemayaka. I confess and believe that my children are disciplined and taught of the Lord and obedience to God's will. Great is the peace and the undisturbed composure of my children, my grandchildren, my family, my bloodline, my loved ones, the ones that are close to me. Praise God, those that are listening to this broadcast, Father God, give them the assurance, God, that you are able to deliver and set free from any situation, because God himself contained with that which contains with us and with them. My children, he gave, give them safety, travel, safety, praise God, travel each and every day, and erases, praise God, the things, praise God, devil has tried to put before them. But God, you said that you were perfect, that concerns me. And Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your word tonight, because your word is true. Your word is true. The word that I spoke is live, and it is alive and full of power. It is active and operative. It is energized. It's energized, energetic. And praise God, it is effective. Praise God. As I speak, God's word is a sharper than into any two-edged sword. It is penetrating into my joints, into the marrow of the bone. It is healing to my flesh. It is prosperity to me and mine and those that are surrounding and connected to me. It is the magnificent word of the Almighty God, according to the word that I have spoken. So be it. So be it. Let it be so. Let it be so. And Father, I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy. There is none like you, O God. There is none like you. Devil, you have been annihilated. You have been defeated. And I thank you, Father, for your word. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your goodness. And I thank you for your mercy. There is none like you, O God. There is none like you, none like you. For you are an awesome God. You are an awesome God. For you are omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. I do bless your name tonight. I bless your name tonight. For you are the only true and living God in the universe. In this universe, thank you, Lord. I bless you right now. But Father, tonight, praise God, as I go into this word, praise God, I ask that you would clarify it. Bring understanding, Lord. Do give increase. Because you said whatever your word will not go out void, but it'll go out and accomplish that in which it has been sent. I send it now in your holy name. Amen. But tonight I'm going to be coming from 1 Corinthians 13:1-13. 1 Corinthians. And if I had to say something tonight, I would ask you a profound question. What matters most in this life? What matters most in this life? Is your car, your money, your education, but your looks, your arrogancy, your proud-heartedness? What matters? What matters the most to you in this life? Think about it. What matters? Ask yourself. You ever ask yourself the question, what matters to me most? My family, my children, my job, my husband, my fiancé, and some of you might say your boyfriend, whatever. But what matters most in this life? What matters most? Now, God has been good to his people. He has given us more than we ever deserved. Think about it. He watches over you even when you're in your sin. He said, I watched over you. Yes, the scripture. He says, when you was in sin, doing everything you thought you were big enough to do and did what you want to do, and some of you didn't want to do, but you still did it. But he said, I've given you more than you deserve. He provided a means of salvation that will save the vilest sinner. He has given us so many precious promises and stand by every one of them, because he's not a God that he could lie. And when a person comes to Jesus for salvation, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, give them spiritual gifts so that God might use them for his glory in his kingdom. But you see what is happening today. Many come in with God's gift, but they leave out with the devil's treasures. They come in with God's gift, but they leave out with the devil's treasure because they prostitute the gift of God. You cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. Either you hate one or love one, or you despise one and hold to one, but you cannot love two masters. And so what happens is, praise God, what happens, what matters the most in this life? Because when your life is over, my friend, when you are dead and gone, now comes the judgment. What matters most in this life? Your job, your friend, your arrogancy, your proud-heartedness, you think you this and think you that. But see, when God comes in, he saves us, he gives us gifts that we may use for him for his work. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, all the spiritual gifts have their place in the work of the body. Listen to what it's going to be working at now. Not the nightclubs. Hello, somebody. Not nightclubs. Not masquerades. He says, but in the body of Christ. They all serve to edify the body and to glorify the Lord. We each have been gifted in a special, unique fashion by the Ruach HaKodesh. And some gifts are tongues, and healing has been blown out of proportion because other gifts like giving and helping have not been given nearly enough attention. The greatest, most essential gift that God gives his church, which is you. Let me help you out with this. The church is you. Now, I ain't talking about the building. You, my friend, church, temple, temple, church. The word of God says what? He said he shed his blood. He paid the price. He paid a price for you. He paid a price for you. You are the temple of God, not the building that stands up with these stained glass windows, my friend. I don't care how I look, a cathedral with everything in there is gold. It doesn't matter. It has no life in it. The church is you, the gift that contains the most divine power. Oh, it contains the most divine power. It's a gift of his love, his working in. Oh, he's working in you and through you, not the church, the building. His love was placed within us when we were saved. Not by your works, not by your singing, not by your dancing, not by your preaching. Hello, somebody. Yes, yes, I'm talking good. Not by your preaching, but it was so you were saved by his grace. It don't matter how good you sing, how many tongues you speak in. If you were not saved by grace, it is nothing. But it is, it's a fake. And hope maketh not ashamed. You are saved by grace and hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shedded abroad in our hearts by the Ruach HaKodesh, which is given unto us in Romans 5:5. Now, see, God gave us grace to be saved, not works. His works working in us and displaying one to another is the greatest testimony. The greatest testimony any of us could want and have. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. Yes. When we walk in love one for another, we are walking in obedience to the Lord. Hey, God. The New Testament I give unto you, that ye love one another, he says, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And when we walk in love one for the other, prove that we are saved. Oh, so that's what's happened then. Okay. Reason we can't do it because we haven't been saved by grace. This is why so much schism in the body of Christ, so much foolishness, fighting in the church. Wives fighting their husband over another woman. Husband fighting their wives over another man. This is all going on in the house of the Lord because guess what? You wasn't saved by grace. You couldn't have. That proves that we are saved by grace when we walk in the love for one another. But we can't do that because you got it now. Everybody's all over, husbands fighting their wives in the church, fighting them over the woman in the church, the men fighting over the women in the church, people fighting, shooting at the church. It's a mess. We know that when we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Oh, my goodness. And he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Let me say this again. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. 1 John. Write it down. 1 John 3:14. You don't abide in love. You abide in death. You don't love your brother. You say you love him, but you don't love your brother. No. See, one of the problems in the church of Corinth was that they were manifesting nearly every spiritual gift in existence. But they were not walking in love for one another. How can you love your brother who you see? How can you hate your brother who you see and say you love a God you never seen? Tell me, how can you do that? How can you love a God you never seen? But you can't love your brother who you see. The Bible says you're a liar and the truth don't dwell in you. Corinthians love the flashy gifts. They love the tongue, the prophecy. Oh, yes, Lord Jesus. You got people trying to prophesy to me. If the devil is a liar. If God didn't say it, I won't say it. I want somebody to say something to you to make you feel good and tickle your flesh, your ears. The Bible said there will come a time that you will have itching ears. You will believe a lie better more than the truth. Because right now they call right wrong and wrong right. Everything is upside down now. Tongues and prophecy and gifts, and they made them look spiritual in the eyes of others. Some people pay for just to get a word for somebody to lie to you. God was more interested in them coming to the place where they love one another like he loved them. They didn't see that. All they saw was the materialistic things. The materialistic thing that was happening in Corinthians, you see. And in the same book of Corinthians, chapter 12, 14, were written to combat the problem that existed in Corinth related to the spiritual gifts and their usage in the church. While we think of these things, these statutes and these standalone chapters, they really should be read together. See, chapter 12 tells us and talks about the spiritual gifts and how they were given to us and why they benefited the whole body of Christ. Chapter 12 tells us and speaks about how the body of Christ is strengthened and blessed when the individuals use the gift they have been given for the Lord. But now we don't know who's been given what, because now they're doing the drop it while it's hot and all this stuff and the nay-nay and all these other things in the house of God now. So we don't know. People don't know. You know, they let them come and they don't brought the bar to the church. And the church don't have to go to the bar. They don't brought the bar to the church. Everybody now shaking and jumping and the behind shaking and everything. And everybody clapping about it. How confused are you? Chapter 14 deals with the misuse of this gift, signs and the gifts like tongues. And healing, contrary to the popular belief, does not encourage the use of tongues. It actually discouraged the use of tongues. The church and called the church of Corinth to deepen, mature in their walk with the Lord. See, this is why all this stuff, praise God, was going on in the book of Corinthians, because they were doing the same thing Americans were doing today. Yes, we are back in Corinth again. In 2018, we're still in Corinth because they're doing everything they want to do in the church. Everything. I said everything. They got it, so now they're showing women how to go in and do things to their body inside the church and got them sitting down there with no clothes on and experiment with them in the church and people standing there looking. Demonic. But God going to deal with you. You may thought you got away, but you didn't get back. You may got by, but you ain't getting away. Teach somebody how to go in and make themselves feel good if they laying there with no clothes on and the pastor sitting down there demonstrating it. Come on, Holy Ghost. What's going on? What's going on here? The devil done creeped in. And they call that's a sermon. They deal with the misuse of the signs and the gift of tongues to heal it, contrary to the belief. In the middle is a chapter 13. Now, if it follows on the healing of chapter 12, which closed with a statement in verse 31, but convert earnestly the best gift, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. You are converting the best gift, but I show you a much, much better way. He talks about what matters the most. We sit up in the house of God. We fall for anything. No shame. No shame. No shame. What matters the most is how we love each other. And when you love, learn to love like Jesus loved. You have discovered what matters the most. There's no love. What love? There's no love in no, there's no love nowhere. What love? Love is gone. Love doesn't live here anymore. The passage is well about what matters the most. Should be your salvation to the Lord, your relationship with Him, eternal life. But I want to show you a few details on what matters the most, though. The first one is, praise God, is love distinction. The whole idea of these verses is that love is distinctive from what? Superior to every anything we can do, be, or say. Regardless of what we do, if it is not infused with and carries out through the love of God, it's chaos. It's abomination. It's a waste of time. A love is higher than the sensational. You may be a great speaker, praise the Lord, but that is not substitute for love. No matter how great you speak and how beautiful your speech is and how brilliant and how, you know, it sounds and how much you done discovered and found out about it and you done researched, and it doesn't matter. Without love, you are simply a clinging cymbal. He is making a lot of noise. My mother used to say, you just an empty wagon, we're making a lot of noise. You ever seen a wagon empty and it just be rattling? Just rattling because it's empty, ain't got nothing to say. Ain't nothing in it. You ain't got nothing to hold it down, so it just shake and rattle all over the place. You see these great speeches that can move a person to emotion and all this kind of stuff can move people. Praise God, a person's mind and a great speaker can move a person's will, but only great love can move a person's heart. That's right. Only a great mind, only a love can move a person's heart. We have become so cold-hearted, so evil. The Bible says, remember, there is no good thing that dwelleth in this fleshly heart anyway. It is deceitful in all its ways. Oratoria, you can move one to tears, but only love can move one to Jesus. Hallelujah. All this you doing can do this, but it's the only thing, it should be moving you to Jesus. And to say this, praise God. The bottom line is this, when there is saying the same, you know, instrument used in a heathen's worship, you know the heathen worship, let me tell you something. Right now, praise God, you don't know the God's worship from the devil's worship. The devil worship probably better than the saints right now. Therefore, the person who exercises his tongue in a spiritual fashion, yet do not do so with the love of God in him, that person is no better than a heathen worshiper. That's right. That's what I say. You get your mess from them, and then you bring it trying to use it on somebody else. In fact, the worshiper is, the man is centered and not God-centered. Love is higher than the speculation. This verse mentions several particular abilities. But even if the person was able to do all these things and he did not have the love of God in his heart, he was nothing. Empty. You say empty wagon. the tinkling cymbals. Tinkling cymbals. You have nothing to offer. Love, praise God, is higher than a sacrifice, y'all. We can give any away anything we own. We can even give up to our bodies on the altar of a martyr. But if we do not do, we do it without love in our hearts, it is a waste of time, and it does not profit us not one bit. So we have to ask ourselves, all these things I'm doing, am I doing it in love? Am I doing it to be seen? Am I doing it to be noticed? Am I doing it because I want to hear people say, you know, she did it as a good thing. But I want to help you out with this because the Bible said, be careful when men always speak well of you. Be very careful. And he also said, whatever they say about you, let it be a lie. Don't let it be the truth. This instance is clear when love is absent. The Christian is no better than a heathen. He is nothing. And he can expect nothing. Regardless of what others may think of us or you, your ability or your gift without love, it is all speculation and a waste of time. And a waste of time. Love distinction. Love description. But who talks about love these love these days? Love and lust. Love, lust. All both of them start with L, and all both of them have four-letter words. You say lust, love, love, lust. Lust, love. Love, yeah, lust. Lust, lust, love. Both of them starts with an L. And the world has gotten them mixed up. They call lust, love, and love, lust. Paul gives in-depth description of what love is. It reveals all its characteristics to us. There are truths that we need to be reminded of continuously. This is why, praise God, when people come down to get married, their marriage lasts for a year, and that's it. It was all about sex. Sex was the part of the marriage. There was no love in it. There was no grounds for love. And as soon as they wear out and everything get old, now they want to get a divorce. There was no love in it. It was lust. Lust. L-U-S-T-L-O-V-E. Lust, love, love, lust. They call love, they call sex love. Sex is not love. It's a characteristic of the love, the house of love, but it's not love. But they put that as love. This is why so much confusion right now with saying everybody sleeping with everybody. Everybody pulling everybody. Anybody just, let me go for that. Oh, I like her. Her behind is big. It looked fine. All of it is lust. He revealed all of its characteristics to us. Love futures is this. Paul said, Paul shows us the many sides of true godly love. As if love were a great and brilliant, just a brilliant diamond. You see, you have to understand because a diamond is not just picked up in the store. A diamond is built and made from the heart of the earth. It comes out of nothing but filthy, dirty clay. But when they clean it up, that's what gives it that brilliant light, diamond. He holds it up before us and reveals it as many facts as he does. The persons of God is revealed in each glare, okay, of the light from the surface of love. There's a glow. You have the love of Christ abiding in you. People see it. They see it. But you have to understand something. That even in his love, you have to suffer long. And this means that patience, endurance, under provocation, the literal meaning of this word is long and temperate. Long and temperate. This characteristic of love reveals the truth that love does not retaliate. Love is what love does. Love is what love does. What we call love today is simply lust. It is kind. The root refers to the act of goodness that goes forth in behalf of others. Genuine love is never hateful or mean, but it is respect, and it respects others and reaches out to them. Yes. For an example, this kind of love is God. It is the kind to people despite their treatment of others. In Romans 2:4, envy, love don't envy. Envy, love is not envy. You have so many people today, praise God, they're so envious. You got on a new pair of shoes. They don't know whether they knew or not. Praise God, they don't care. They don't care. They wouldn't even care if it came from the 50th store, Salvation Army. They still be jealous. Spirit of jealousy. True love is not jealous over the ability or the success of others, the possession of others. Instead of being jealous when others prosper or excel, love is pleased when they do well. Not many people, they get jealous. Don't know why you're jealous. Don't know what they're jealous about. Don't know what your struggle. But they're jealous. That's because the enemy has taken over their minds. The enemy, he sits and he waits for you. And then he starts going at you. You see, you could have did that, but you didn't do it because, you see, so then you start praying with your mind. You must always understand, praise the Lord, that the devil is always sitting, waiting to tamper and to play with your mind. That's his battleground. Jealousy is one of the vilest sins that we harbor in our hearts. You see, it was Eve jealousy. It was Eve jealousy of God that motivated her to take on the forbidden fruit. What was she thinking? She wasn't. It was jealousy that put Daniel in the lion's den. It was jealousy that put Job in the pit. Yet, godly love is never jealous, regardless. But it's rather, it is pleased. It's pleased when others succeed. When others succeed. It is amazing how you have someone that's close to you. And praise God, as soon as God begins to bless you and start pulling you up and they see it, all of that go out the window. They done. They get jealous. Listen, to be what God wants you to be and to allow him to take you to the place called there and the place, praise God, where he have you, but he's taking you to someplace greater, is to be happy and be pleased when someone else is getting their reward. Learn to, hey, it's their time. It's their time. My time coming. It's their time. I appreciate it. I'm happy for you. I mean it. I mean this. Don't say it just because you want to say it and you get behind the back. You're trying to figure out how to stop them or how to trip them up or how to cause something to happen. Love is pure. It is not what you call valuable. It's not for itself. Literally means do not make a parade. Love does not brag. Hey, love does not become braggadocious. It does not draw attention to itself or to what it is doing. Chest all pushed out, standing all back strong, looking like you've done something. You did nothing. What you're just doing, you're getting ready to fall because of your jealousy. Love does not have to be the center of attention. Don't have to be the center of attention. It's not puffed up. Love is not puffed up. It is not ignorant or proud. It realizes that all it has, hey God, and all that is his, has been given to him by God. No matter how great our talent, how great your talent is, how good you at whatever you do. Don't let the devil fool you by having you, allowing you to become arrogant or proud, puffed up like I'm him and you there. You're on your way down. You're on your way down fast, real fast. Yeah, saying the devil uses things to try to cause you and trip you up, no matter how great your talent is, how particular, how, you know, spectacular your gift. Everything we are in the results of divine grace. Everything you have and do is only because God has allowed you to do it, and he let you do it, and he loved to see you enjoy it. But when you come puffed up and when you become ignorant and proud, he pulls you down. He allows you to fall to the ground. The love is humble because it reminds us. It reminds us where it was before grace. Where were you before all this happened? Before grace found you. Did you see what found you? It was grace. It realized where it would be apart from now if it wasn't for grace and the grace of God. You know, you wouldn't have what you have if it wasn't for the grace of God. You wouldn't be where you are for the grace of God. And my God, I've never seen a generation, praise God, of these times. They don't say, God, they walk around proud like I did this. That's why you can't go nowhere. That's why you're not going nowhere. That's why you're going to call everything you have is going to be pulled from up under you. You don't give God his glory. I thank you, Father, for what you have given unto me. I thank you, Father, how you bless me. I thank you, Father, how you give me the strength to do whatever I do. Father, I give you glory. I give you praise. I realize, God, it's not me, but it's you, Father God. You give me all that I have. You bless me to be able to do this. You give me the strength to do this, Father. Oh, you ashamed to do it? See, the devil know how to come in and trick you and make you lose everything you got. Do not behave itself. See, love don't behave itself unseemly. Love is never rude. It is always treated with others in compassion, consideration, and respect, and love and control. See, when you forget from which you came, you've already failed. Love control. Love controls the emotion. It is not friendly. See, one day. It's not friendly one day. And then, short of other days, it's the same today. It seeks not its own. It don't seek its own. Okay? True love is never selfish and self-centered, but it is actively interested in what will profit others. The Bible says, esteem your brother higher than yourself. Okay? It never looks at itself first, but it's also considered another head of another person ahead of him. But the Lord is saying today, what matters to you the most? See, are you trying to make God happy or are you trying to make yourself happy? Because, see, when you put him first, you cannot go wrong. You cannot fail. Everything he promised you, he said, I will do it. But there are circumstances and consequences that follows. You think it's no evil. Love don't think no evil. And it takes no worthless invitation. You must know what matters to you in this life. Love hides of sin. So genius's love does not dwell on what others may have done. You must understand what you do. What you do is what will get you through where you're trying to go. You must understand to love and be loved. Never envy. It is natural to love them, the love that the one that loved us. But it is supernatural to love them that hate us. You must be able to rejoice. Love does not rejoice in sin, whether it is its own sin or the sins of others. Love hates sin, and love does not rejoice. Does not rejoice when another person falls into sin. Father, we thank you tonight, God, for allow your word to go forth, praise God, with clarity, that others may understand and know that your word is true and it cannot fail. It will go out and accomplish that in which it has been said. Father, we thank you tonight for the word. I praise you and I thank you because I realize, praise God, your word is true all by itself. Thank you, Father God, for tonight. Thank you for the word. Thank you, praise God, that it go forth and it touch hearts of those, praise God, for understanding, clarity. Father God, give them a hunger for your word. Father God, give them, praise God, an opening that they would like to know, praise God, more of your word. that they may know, praise God, and seek you as their Savior and their Lord. Because, Father, you are coming back. You will return. And, God, help them to be ready. Father God, ready or not, you're coming back. And we thank you, Father God, for your word tonight. Love hides the multitude of sin. You be blessed. You be blessed. We'll see you tomorrow, 8 o'clock p.m. Thank you. Have a blessed night.